This is Dave Chang.
And Chris Ying.
We are the hosts of Recipe Club. You may have listened to it before, but we are now back on the air, new and improved, with the same host that lose every week. I still don't know what the rules are because they've changed as well. Chris, can you give a quick rundown?
Every week, we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. We take a user, listener submitted recipe, and we all cook it with our friends, Priya Krishna, Rachel Kong, Brian Ford, and John DeBerry. And then we talk about what went right and what went wrong.
No, I actually really don't want to do this podcast. And they are hardly our friends. They are enemies. They are enemies.
It's Dave's civil disobedience. If you want to see Dave Chang in an act of civil disobedience, tune into Recipe Club, where he will not follow the recipe.
I'm contractually obligated to make this podcast.
But I'm here to have a good time. So listen to Recipe Club every week on the Ringer Podcast Network.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello and welcome to the Ringer Prestige TV podcast. My name is Chris Ryan. I'm joined by Joanna Robinson. What's up, Joanna?
Oh, hi, Chris.
We are talking about founders and the TV that we make out of their glorious stories. Joanna and I are going to do a little recap of check-in, little gut check on The Dropout, on We Crashed, and on Super Pumped, three shows which are essentially running parallel to one another. We Crash has a couple more episodes. It's going to run until the end of April, but Dropout and Super Pumped are coming up on their final episodes. And we thought, what better time to kind of say, hey, what have these shows done well? What have these shows done poorly? How are we feeling about them? So Joanna, why don't we start here, actually? Generally speaking,
yeah,
are you foundered out yet? Do you feel like you've hit maximum founder?
Yeah, I'm all filled up. I'm really glad we're moving into a different genre in April. It feels like this is all concentrated here in March. We got a little bit more time to spend with Jared Leto and Anne Hathaway, but other than that, we're moving on to a new genre. I'm calling, well, not new, a new old favorite, the mentally unwell genre. I think is going to dominate April. But yeah, so
is that like Barry or what's the mentor?
It's Russian Doll. It's Barry. It's a flight attendant. It's Moon Knight. It's the girl from Plainville. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, gut check. We are not okay, and our
Kenobi,
TV is not.
That guy still reeling from trauma. You know,
just sitting in a cave in the desert, thinking about his life and his choices. But yeah, I think I've reached my capacity on founders. I have no more taste for green juice. I am all good. How about you, Chris?
This is my first question that I thought we could unpack, which is how much these shows being on at the same time impacted our appreciation, enjoyment, processing of the actual shows themselves. Because I was racking my brain. There are some times where two Steve Prefontaine movies come out in a 2-year period or something, or there's a couple of shows that might have similar vibes, but and they're on it the same year. But I can't think of a time where we had three series told. Yes, we're going to get into the differences between the shows, but I would say, generally speaking, in similar ways about very similar stories at the same time. And I personally have found it a little bit difficult to separate one from the other in terms of like being able to appreciate the merits of any given one of them, because there's just so much more of them on it at this point.
I agree with you. And I think you and I agree in our general ranking order of them. But I do think that there is a benefit. I had fallen behind on Super Pumped. So before we recorded this, I caught up on a bunch of episodes, and I thinking about it in the context of The Dropout, I think was actually really helpful and helped me enjoy it more as a sort of more rounded view of the Valley, of what it means to be a founder like character like this, of what it means to hero worship Steve Jobs, what it means, like all of that sort of stuff. I think those two in tandem are additive. But I think when you add We Crashed, which isn't a Valley story anyway, because they weren't really based out here, like that then starts to feel like overload. What do you think?
I had this experience when I was the same thing you were doing, except for me, it was catching up with We Crashed. I think We Crashed being released last made me very, very hesitant to even start it, to be completely honest. And it was only because of text messages that I would get about Anne Hathaway's performance that I was like, I guess I gotta see this. But there's a moment in We Crashed, I think in Masha, I can't remember, whenever Adam Newman gives his sort of speech at an investment bank to a bunch of investors with Scott Galloway hosting. And Anthony Edwards' character walks up to him and says, I'm from Benchmark. And I'm like, we don't need two shows where Benchmark is a character. We have Bill Gurley played by Kyle Chandler in Super Pumped, and now we've got this guy Bruce played by Anthony Edwards in We Crashed. I'm like, I just have too much Benchmark in my life.
Yeah, like one Benchmark at a time. Wait, does this mean that you two are getting text messages from Mallory Rubin of Anne Hathaway with like a Kleenex on her face?
Yes, I am part of like that circle of friends. Uh-huh. But you know, it's funny. It's like, I guess on the other hand, it's not like I've ever had like an allergic reaction to having more than one detective on television at once. So maybe it's just the sign of the times and it's different strokes. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about where these shows sort of fall in terms of a preferential meter. You know, like which one of these three have you found to be the strongest?
For me, and I mean, just taking the temperature of most people I've talked to and people I've seen online, I think The Dropout is the clear front runner for most people. And then for me, it goes Super Pumped below that, and then We Crashed. I think it would have ranked it differently the last time we talked. You and I talked about Super Pumped. Super Pumped was trailing third for me, but I think it's sort of shaped up a bit better later in the season, so it pulled ahead. So that's my ranking. What about you?
It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. And I think that I find We Crashed to be really slow. So that's been kind of like my tough thing is that I almost would rather We Crashed be like a weird show about Rebecca Newman, you know, and that we could just watch this woman kind of go through whatever it is she's going through and see this entire thing through her eyes and have this husband who's like a rocket ship that she's sort of grabbing onto, but has some misgivings about. And all the stuff that Anne Hathaway is doing is pretty incredible. But I think that just the combination of fatigue with the storylines that these shows share, and honestly just not really caring very much about WeWork as like a concept, it's just been a little bit of a struggle for me to keep up with it. Whereas Super Pumped has, I think, a little bit of like Koppelman, Levine, panache that I like. And then The Dropout, I think, is actually just exceptional. So why don't we chat a little bit about the Dropout. I think all these shows have some really great performances. I think Amanda Seyfried is in a class of her own right now. And the idea that she got this role because Kate McKinnon didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the idea that basically this was like, oh, cool. Like I picked this one up. The run she's on between this and Mank is such a great, I wouldn't say career revival because she didn't exactly like go anywhere, but
yeah,
I think she's like one of my favorite actors right now.
What she's done with this is incredible. And it's unclear. I don't think anyone is being 100% transparent or honest about the switchover from Kate McKinnon to Amanda Seyfried. Not that this is just usually the case. It's just sort of like, well, a conflict arose or we went in a different direction, something like that. But it seems to me, given the people and some of the tones associated with The Dropout, that initially they want to do something more comedic. And then they landed on something that didn't quite suit a Kate McKinnon performance, but better suited Amanda Seyfried. That's just me guessing. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just been incredible in the role. And even more so, I think The Dropout has done such a good job of balancing some comedy. You know, there's like a straight comedy episode four, but balancing some comedy with some, you know, chewy drama Whereas Super Pumped, and I'm not here to knock it, I'm just sort of, I'm trying to find the best version of the show underneath some of my questions around it.
Yeah.
And there are some times on The Dropout where they'll veer from something very serious like sexual harassment in the workplace to like, you know, a big jokey bit. Sometimes the whiplash, there was one episode where they go from a driver being murdered, like his throat slit, to a boardroom that they just a boardroom meeting that they decided to frame as a video game. So they're like, you know, smash down in the boardroom. And I was like, that whiplash of tone is hard for me to hold on to because it feels like Super Pumped does want to do that more meaningful stuff, the more meaningful repercussions of what Uber was, but also maintain exactly that Koppelman Levine sort of excitement. So that's sort of where I am with that.
Yeah. You know, The Dropout, I think, is... most of these shows, I think all three of them, well, you know, I think a Recrash is a little bit different, but like especially Dropout and Super Pumped, I think have a desire to tell complete stories. So they're almost, you know, they're almost documentaries with really cool reenactments going on in a lot of ways. Like I think there's a version of The Dropout that is almost, that is treating Elizabeth Holmes the way that Recrash is treating Adam and Rebecca, which is to say, like, they're the POV characters, and any scene that we see is usually going to have one of them in it.
Right.
The Dropout, if it's just Elizabeth's story, is a fascinating character study, and I think probably would have been more comic, you know, a little bit. I think that, like, her transformation over the years is, while rooted in some messy stuff, is like ultimately has like some comic elements. It's when you go into the Stephen Fry and the Laurie Metcalf and the Wall Street Journal and this desire to kind of hit every single data point of a story, which documentaries do, that it kind of changes the complexion of the show a little bit for me.
And it's almost a baton handoff of the POV, right? Like the episode 4 that I mentioned is like the Walgreens guys coming in and there are POV in that episode. You get Stephen Fry. You get the handoff to like Dylan Minnette's character when he comes in. You know, it's a passing of the POV. We start the first three are kind of Elizabeth Holmes POV.
Yeah.
And then it passes it around. And I think it is a stronger show for that. And I think Recrash flirts with that, you know, like I think when they brought in America Ferrera, it was much more from her point of view rather than how she interacts with Rebecca's character, character Rebecca. I think that, again, that would have been a stronger way to go. I think it's a really smart way to go. And what's interesting about Super Pumped is that Super Pumped doesn't do the handoff. We're either in Travis's point of view or we're in Bill's point of view is sort of how everything is divided. And once it becomes a versus, I thought Super Pumped really gelled together.
Yes.
Once it becomes Travis versus Bill, once Kyle Chandler gets to be in the sort of beleaguered dad role that we know him to do so well, I think that's when the show really coalesces.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's like, it's basically like the premise of like a lot of talk radio. It's like, nobody likes to listen to people agree. You know, so
right.
when Gurley is enamored with Travis, and a little, you know, maybe he's got like a few misgivings, but for the most part is like, I've got myself a unicorn here.
Right.
He doesn't have a lot to do, you know, like he can go to his wife and talk about like, oh, like Phil Jackson and the Bulls, and like they can make their analogies and stuff. But it's only when he starts becoming Travis's antagonist that the show kind of like comes to life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one issue that I've been having with these shows, and I wanted to see what you thought about this. And I this has been nagging at me with other shows, like whether it's even Winning Time, which I really like, and and Plainville, which I think is really good in some ways, is how literal the shows are. Their depictions of life are really, like, for the most part, only in service of either the context that the stories take place in. So basically, like, if you see like an episode of Winning Time and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is talking to Spencer Haywood, the thing that they are talking about is like Spencer Haywood's historical importance. Now, they may have talked about that at some point, but it's highly unlikely that they did it like at the exact time that they're doing it and the exact way that they're doing it. And I find that this happens a lot in these three shows that we're talking about, where it's like the only thing people are interested in talking about is whether or not they're getting their VC funding and who's going to take their VC funding away and whether or not they can scam their way to more VC funding and whether or not this thing works or it doesn't. And there are people who don't believe in me, but I believe in myself. And there's just really little life to it.
Well, it reminded me of when you and Chris, when you and Andy were talking about Slow Horses, and you were talking about this discussion that happens episode one of Slow Horses about, you know, how to store a lemon, basically, or what's a good lemon or whatever. And it's just sort of something that has nothing to do with the plot, but is just good character work and tells us something about the character and is there to add, you know, to build a believable world. And you're absolutely right that none of these shows have this. And I think what's also sort of standing in their way, whether or not it's fair, the main comparison that we keep coming back to for all these shows, I think, is The Social Network, the gold standard of a story like this. That's a feature film versus a TV series. And that is a feature film where famously Sorkin took massive liberties with the stories he's telling, right? But he created a human story, right? It's like Zuckerberg, for all of his flaws, feels like a human that we understand his human emotions that we can glom onto. And these shows, sometimes literally characters will say, "You are not a human," to our central character. And so I'm like, well, what show am I watching then if this is not a show about humans? I care about human stories. And so I think that's the challenge. And I think if these were shows about more human characters at the center of them, then we would have more room for some of that. But then sometimes they go too far afield. Like I would argue some of the We Crashed episodes, like specifically the summer camp one with centering on Rebecca's character. I'm just like, I feel like we lost the plot at this point on what we're doing here. So it's tricky.
Yeah. So let's look into the. I kind of want to do a little taxonomy of each of these because I kind of don't want them all to be the same thing. So if you were like in a vacuum, gonna tell somebody like, here's why you should watch this show, and you know you could pretend basically that like the other shows don't exist, that the other episodes out, the other series don't exist, so you don't have to worry about We Crash, you don't have to worry about Super Pumped, you're just trying to tell somebody like why The Dropout is good. What would you say?
Again, I mean, we've already mentioned it, but I think Amanda Seyfried, when I have recommended it to people, I was like, this is a performance you can't miss, right? Whatever Amanda Seyfried is doing. But the thing is I would say a similar thing about We Crashed. Only my recommendation would be less enthusiastic.
Yeah.
But I would say there's one tremendous and one very good performance at the center of We Crash, but is that enough to fire it off? And I think also the Liz Hannah and Liz Merriweather behind The Dropout are trying to say something about women in tech or women in general, something, a story that we haven't quite seen before, whereas that's not really existent for the other two shows. What would you say in a vacuum?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would say like The Dropout is a black comedy masquerading as a procedural, or a procedural masquerading as a black comedy, or that there is like elements of both kind of maybe sometimes at war, but often working in tandem to create this story, which I really dig. I also found The Dropout to be pretty compelling. I watched that like the most as a binge, and I found that to be just the right amount of character work and just the right amount of like twistiness, which I probably don't know that much about the nuances of the Theranos story compared to the Uber story. Like, I feel like I'm more familiar with things that happen on Super Pumped. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that Ben Smith thing. Like, you know, like, whereas on Theranos, I'm like, damn, is she really that famous? Like, I don't know how I missed Elizabeth Holmes's moment in the sun, but like when they're like, here she is with Bill Clinton and here she is with Joe Biden, like giving her that, I'm like, really? I feel like I was living under a rock for all this.
This is a conversation I had with Nora about The Girl from Plainville, because I missed that case entirely and I knew absolutely zero about it. And so watching the show, binging that show for me, I was sort of on the edge of my seat trying to follow all the twists and turns of what happened here, uncover what really happened. And I think for all of these shows, because The Girl from Plainville isn't quite under this umbrella, but it kind of is at the same time. The less familiarity you have with the thing, the more compelled perhaps you're going to be.
Yeah, and with WeWork, I think I didn't really know anything about the culture at WeWork, but I was always just kind of like, so like they put like some neon signs and some free coffee up in lock office spaces, like
cold brew, baby.
It definitely
cold
is, brew. Yeah, it definitely didn't rise to like the level of stakes that I'm usually accustomed to. If I was going to pitch somebody on Super Pumped, I think I'd probably say you know, it's a war of the boardroom roses. It's essentially like a power struggle. My sort of preference for the Super Pumped episodes, I think my favorite one is the Tim Cook deposition interrogation episode, because I think that's where it kind of fell into place formally, where it was like you can kind of have like a storytelling mechanism beyond the animation or the voiceover from Quentin Tarantino or whatever. And it's playful, but it's also like he has to answer certain questions. Plus Hank Azaria and Rob Morrow and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is kind of like a fun trio. Yeah. And there's a little bit of a Social Network light thing going down to even the music that they play, other than the 55 Pearl Jam songs that they've licensed.
It like you and I talked about the Pearl Jam the first time, but it's just been more and more and more, an astonishing amount. All the Pearl Jams in this. For that episode, you know, I also think of these shows as Wikipedia shows, right? Like shows that you can look up, like when did this actually happen? That episode was kind of tough for me. I really liked it. And I love Rob Morrow and Hank Azaria, but there are three or four main incidents in that episode, and they all took place wildly different times in the actual timeline of Uber. And so I was trying to wrestle with this, because as much as I enjoy something like The Social Network that takes extreme liberties, if there's something that includes so many real life events, but told kind of out of order or told as if they're all happening at once, then I'm wondering what service does it do for us trying to track the evolution of Travis's character of like, so when do you stop caring, or, you know, when do you evolve into the quote unquote monster, if that's the story we're trying to tell? Whereas at least with The Dropout, which is so much more linear, I feel like I understand the moments when Elizabeth Holmes is like personality and humanity is ebbing away.
Yeah. It's interesting how many of these shows use, some sort of like family tragedy to show the inhumanity of the main characters, where it's just like, oh no, I can't go to this funeral. I mean, Elizabeth Holmes does go to the funeral, but like their reactions to deaths in the family or to, you know, whatever is like, it's funny how they like these beats show up in like each of the shows or each of these people's stories, you know, with Super Pumped, you know, it's funny. You should mention the inconsistencies or the inaccuracies, because there's also things like random benchmark guy making a really elaborate big wave surfing analogy that is like clearly somebody who wrote for Super Pumped watched 100 Foot Wave and was like, we gotta make a Nazare joke. And also like at the end of that, I think it's of the Tim Cook episode, when Sergi and Larry from Google are discovering the self-driving car information has been stolen from them, the greatest replacement song, Here Comes a Regular, is playing. It's like, has nothing to do with Google. Nobody in the scene would be listening to this. But I was like, go ahead, guys. Just pay Paul Westerberg.
It's an incredible needle drop. And it's not even like the closing needle drop of the episode, because then, of course,
they had another Pearl Jam song.
I was like, how is Here Comes a Regular not the closing track to this? Because it started to fade out.
Also,
and the episode
why is
kept
it
going.
Being played, though? It's like, it's not, it's like about self-driving car algorithms.
A true flex. Also, shout out to Ben Feldman's incredible wig. As he plays Larry. I don't know. I don't know how to talk about them separate from each other. And I don't know who all is watching one. And I feel like most people are watching at least two, you know, if not all three. And the two they're probably watching are Super Pumped and The Dropout. But they're so interwoven in my mind, because it's funny you bring up those family tragedy in the family. There's so much, you know, parental issues running through this, because the ultimate question is there's a couple things. The reason why we're stuck in this founder rut right now, I think, is number one, that IP thing I think that you and I talked about before, this idea of a person, a podcast, a magazine article, a memoir, whatever, as IP. But then also the question of these tech figures, politics makes its way into Super Pumped and The Dropout in a way that, you know, feeds into our maybe spoken or unspoken fear about these figures who wield tremendous power without being elected. And so they're mysteries. So who are these characters? Who are these personalities? Who were their parents? How did they get this way? Who are their parents? How did they get this way? Seems to be like a very important thread for all of this. And something I do love about Super Pumped is we get you know, the parental element. Elizabeth Shue is here to serve her role. Then we also get Bill Gurley and Arianna Huffington as like tech mommy and daddy, like at war with each other. I mean, that's such a great parallel to me in that show. So
the We Crash element is, I think, an interesting pitch because I'm trying to think of like what the argument is for that show. And I guess honestly, it is just like if you like Jared Leto, I would honestly say if you even if you are lukewarm about Anne Hathaway in the past, you should at least watch a couple of episodes of We Crash to see what she is doing, because not only the accent, but like I actually like really do associate her with Full Commitment, like in her in all of her performances. I just think that so there's a quality about her that's just like, wow, she is going for it. But she has rarely gotten a role like this where she can have so much fun and be such a freak and be such so vulnerable and weird. And also be like, you know, I think honestly, like in some ways, like steals some scenes from Leto, who is going still full house of Gucci on everybody here. Let's talk a little bit about Hathaway, because I think that aside from Amanda Seyfried, like she's kind of the big winner of all these shows.
Yeah. I mean, I'm long been an Anne Hathaway loyalist. But yeah, she's got that theater kid energy that famously like turned people off of her in the culture for a while, right around when she won her Oscar. And that was that whole like Jennifer Lawrence.
What are the Oscars even doing for people anymore? You know, it's like where she's curse. Like, she hosted the Oscars, comes out on the negative. Like, it's just,
I was just thinking while you were talking about that, I was about Anne Hathaway. I was just thinking about the Oscars and how, you know, they picked James Franco, the antithesis of her theater kid energy, and just like set them both up to fail. Whereas I'm not saying Jared Leto would make a good Oscar host at all, but he at least always brings that like fake nose, big accent level of commitment that Anne Hathaway might to any project. I love the two of them. I actually love Jared Leto in this show. I don't love this show, but I love him in it. And like having just talked about Morbius for 2 hours this morning, living in that world, I'm like, this is the energy I want Jared Leto to bring to his comic book vampire movie. This completely unhinged performance that he's giving in the show. I absolutely love it when he goes full Gucci. So yeah, the biggest selling point are those two performances, and Hathaway, I think, especially, absolutely.
For me, the other selling point for We Crashed would be it feels a little bit more in the world. Like, it feels like they shot it a little bit more out and about. Like, I don't have any evidence to prove that one way or the other. But one thing that has kind of, not frustrated me, but I think over the course of 7-8 episodes gets a little bit monotonous with Super Pumped and Dropout is the interiority of it, the like feeling like you're watching stuff on sets, the feeling like it never leaves like one of three kind of backgrounds. And like, it's not in even like a COVID way. I think it's like actually a cost effective way to make a show is to have it largely be on a soundstage and stuff. But that Apple money is kind of raining from the ceiling on We Crashed, you know, and you can kind of feel like when they go into that floor of this building that they're going to create the first WeWork office in, it looks like what a WeWork office looks like. Like, it doesn't look like this is just this background wall. This is just this kind of cramped feeling. I think it's, I think it has a little bit more life to it. I, for the life of me, do not know what they're going to do for another 3 hours on this show, though.
No, and I think it just really is struggling to justify its existence outside of those two central performances. And I think, is it maybe the show that would benefit the most from being a movie? But at the end of the day, I just don't know what it's trying to say at all. And again, to go back, you know, you and I talked about this when we first talked about Super Pumped. I agree with Bill's point that I don't need a big moral lesson from any of these things, but I need them to have something to say at the end of the day. And I feel that so strongly with The Dropout. And We Crash just feels like an aimless exploration of these completely zany characters, which sure, but what is it telling me? You know,
I think that that goes back to the Social Network thing that you were kind of mentioning, which is the liberties that Sorkin took in service of creating a memorable character. And part of why I think Social Network has such staying power, aside from Facebook having such a monstrous effect on society, and aside from Fincher's, you know, kind of God-level filmmaking, is the fact that they kind of get into the pathology behind, like, why would you do something like this? Or why would you create something like this? Or how does someone become so powerful and wealthy? Like, what are the things that have to go into that? And, you know, it's a much, much critiqued scene when he, the opening scene with Rooney Mara of Social Network, but his explicit sort of openness about what he wants in the world is not actually about Facebook. It's about himself, you know what I mean? And, you know, we get like some of those kind of origin stories, like in The Dropout, you see Elizabeth like sees her father get fired from Enron. And that's like this kind of moment where I think she's kind of like, never, not me, that won't be happening to me.
God is my witness.
But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Social Network begins and ends with that thread. And again, even if it's invented, it gives us a human understanding of of all these founders, Mark Zuckerberg is the least human seeming of all of them. Something that I thought was really interesting is I was doing some supplemental Googling exploration, and the journalist character that's in Super Pumped, it's not her actual name. The actual journalist is named Sarah Lacey. So I was reading some of her articles or some of her interviews. She gave this great interview to Vox after, spoiler alert, for Super Pumped, Travis leaves the company. And she said something super interesting about The Social Network, where she talked about how The Social Network is like the film Wall Street, operates the same way the film Wall Street did, in that it was supposed to be a cautionary tale, but wound up being an aspirational tale for a lot of people, right?
Right.
And so what we're watching, you know, the specter of Jobs is hanging over explicitly The Dropout and Super Pumped, you know, where both Elizabeth and Travis are like obsessed with Steve Jobs.
With Steve Jobs,
and like people who knew him. But even more so, the timing of all of this, I mean, Elizabeth Holmes a little bit predates The Social Network, but this idea of Zuckerberg, whether fictional or not, as an aspirational cult of the founder sort of figure. So that's another way in which, yeah, I don't want to be unfairly comparing one thing to another thing, but if these actual people are chasing The Social Network, the promise of the founder rock star, I think that's such an interesting textual thing woven into all of these stories.
Are there any particular episodes from any of these shows that you think have leapt out? So I thought like we could talk a little bit about that, because you know, these stories being adapted from podcasts, being adapted from nonfiction books, are not necessarily like pre-constructed to have dramatic highs. They may have twists, they may have cliffhangers, but I don't know. I found that Dropout especially has had some pretty exceptional episodes, but I was curious whether you had any standouts.
I think, you know, so you mentioned with Super Pumped that you like the Charm Offensive, the Tim Cook sort of interrogation episode. I think for me, War, which I think was episode 3, really gelled for me is, you know, it's Lyft v. Uber. And something I think that I talked about when we talked about episode 2 was that some of these episodes of Super Pumped are so long that they almost don't have a unifying thread through them. And I felt like War really just sort of gelled around one idea, one moment that you know, worked super well. So that's where Super Pumped came together for me. And for The Dropout, I've mentioned episode 4, Old White Men. I think that one where I could watch a whole season of television with Rich Sommer and Alan Ruckman and the rest doing what they do in that episode. How about you?
I loved Old White Men. I really liked Heroes, which is the most recent one, which is the publication of the Wall Street Journal story and the defense of the Wall Street Journal story, partially because I thought Evan Moss Bachrach and Lisa Gay Hamilton are so fun. I had a little bit of Wire season 5, like, that's not totally like, would they really be having those kinds of conversations at the newspaper? But man, like Lisa Gay Hamilton's Sicilian fisherman story, that was just a great scene. And that episode specifically speaks to the fact that I think The Dropout might have like the best cast of performers of any show in like the last 3 or 4 years. Like when you go through The Dropout cast list and you get down to like people like Ann Archer who are in like four scenes, you know, it just doesn't, anybody over the age of 55 just can't really get a job in anything other than a, you know, I don't know, playing some superhero's dad or appearing on a Law and Order spinoff, but like, it's crazy to see how many fucking amazing actors are just like, oh, it's like Laurie Metcalf and, you know, Stephen Fry and William Macy are just like in this scene. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, Campbell Scott showed up in the most recent episode of
Oh Yeah,
We Crashed. That's right. Like, oh, Campbell Scott is here with zero fanfare. Here's Campbell Scott, yeah. You know, old Uncle Ben version 2.0 himself. Yeah, the fact that Alan Ruck is in 1.5 episodes of The Dropout really underlines that.
Yeah.
And to your point, I mean, I love that both The Dropout and Super Pumped turn into like journalism thrillers, essentially. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of a journalism thriller. And I think that interaction of journalism, tech, and politics all together in the same soup is really interesting. If We Crash wants to turn into a journalism thriller for the next 3 episodes, I'd be delighted. Bring me another member of the cast of The Practice and I will be happy to, to join in. But yeah.
Do you have any high hopes or any expectations for the final episodes of We Crash and Super Pumped? Or not, sorry, Dropout and Super Pumped?
I think so. The last shoe that's really to drop, I think, in Super Pumped is the fallout of the Susan Fowler POV. Mm-hmm. So I think, and that would be my standout performance as Eva Victor, who I know mostly from social media skits. I think she's really good as Susan Fowler. She had to carry like a really long section of an episode talking about
that monologue. Yeah.
So I think she's great in this. I'm loving her in this. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of her in the finale. So actually I have really high hopes for that. I have seen the Dropout finale already and I really loved it as well. So, yeah.
Good. It's really funny. I don't know why I have Elizabeth Holmes blindness, but I honestly cannot remember how like Elizabeth Holmes' story wound up. So I'm actually blissfully like, ooh, what happens on the finale of the Dropout?
She's fine.
Like, I think she got in trouble, right? Like, I can't remember. Like, you can't still get Theranos, right?
Well, there is a framing device of a deposition in the whole show. So, yeah that's all.
So that seems bad.
That seems not great. Yeah. What they did with the finale, I thought was really interesting for the Dropout. A really, like, really confident ending to a story. And, like, good. We know where we're going. I don't want to like put too many smudge my fingerprints on it, but like that idea of we have something to say is so clear in that show, versus we've reached the bottom of the Wikipedia article page and this is what happens here,
right?
You know,
that's what I'm worried about with We Crash is that maybe there's just so much more Rebecca to come, but I was just kind of like, isn't WeWork still there, right? Like, you can still go in those, right? Do they still exist?
I think if you need some cold brew, you can find a WeWork.
Well, we can wrap it up there. Joanna, we're almost done. We're almost outside of Founder TV. You've given me so much to look forward to with Mentally Unwell.
April.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining me. Thanks so much to Mike Warion for producing us today. We'll have another episode of Prestige TV Podcast for you, I'm sure, soon.